You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hey, Flora, this is Charlie calling from Puerto Rico. And I'm wondering if the show has ever come across a question that has stumped you. Thank you.
Have we ever been stumped? Yes, many times. Sometimes we get questions that just don't have an answer, like, what's cryptocurrency? And sometimes we get a question we know there's an answer to, but something stops us from uncovering it. And in that category, there's one burning question that has been burning us for years.
Hi, Flora. I have a fortune cookie-related question. So I got one the other night. And it read as follows. The rubber bands are heading in the right direction. I don't know what this means.
The rubber bands are heading in the right direction. What could this fortune cookie fortune possibly mean? This has been ELT's White Whale for years. And producer Ahab, that is Phoebe Flanagan.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Phoebe. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How long have you been trying to crack this cookie?
Oh, man. So we got this voicemail 4 years ago, and I thought it was funny, so I called the listener back. Her name's Hannah, and she really wanted to know this answer. She was at a crossroads in her life. She was kind of looking for signs. So she wanted to know, was this fortune good, bad, neutral? What did it mean? And by the time we were off the phone, I really wanted to know too. So we took the case.
But who would know what direction might be right for rubber bands? Is there someone in the elastic industry? Someone intimately familiar with RBs and their movements who could help? I knew we had to try.
Alliance Rubber Company. Can I do for you?
This is Joan Dennis. She works for a single national rubber band manufacturer. And we're trying to figure out what the fortune means, and we thought maybe someone from Alliance would have some insights. Do you think you could help?
Probably not, but go ahead.
Okay, the fortune is the rubber bands are heading in the right direction.
And does that mean something to me? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
I have no idea what whoever wrote that had in their mind at the time that they were writing it.
Do you ever say that around the office? Do people who work in rubber bands say, I hope the rubber bands are heading in the right direction for you?
No. No, that's not a standard phrase by any means.
In your professional opinion, do rubber bands have a direction?
I guess that if you were to say, do I think there's directionality, I would say, I think it's amazing that this product has always survived. Everybody always finds another use for it, be it straightening up your garage, bundling clothing, organizing your kitchen. People are ingenious. You know, if you go to a party and you're expected to bring a casserole, you'll see somebody that will take a rubber band and put it on the lid and then over the handle. There's always a zillion and one uses for a rubber band, and they don't go out of fashion. It is the most complex, simplistic product out there.
The most complex, simplistic thing. Just like a certain fortune I know.
So Joan gave us a clue. Rubber bands do have directionality, but we still had no idea what this fortune meant. It almost seemed like a code.
So who would know how to crack a code wide open, like a slightly stale, dumpling-dimensioned, vaguely vanilla-flavored cookie? Is there someone who's intimately familiar with trafficking secret messages hidden inside inconspicuous objects?
I spent 21 years in the CIA. mostly in the Middle East, but all abroad.
That's ELT's favorite spy, former CIA agent Robert Baer. Codes are his thing. He has sent, received, and intercepted a
redacted
number of coded messages.
Like, you know, arms dealers, they would always say to me, the pencils didn't come through. And I know he didn't sell pencils. I knew what he was selling was missiles. That's what the term he used for missiles. Or if one of his partners was killed, he wouldn't say, hey, so-and-so was killed. He'd call me up and said, our buddy died of lead poisoning.
Robert spent years practicing cursive with his number two, if you catch my drift. So we asked him what he thought of our mystery fortune.
You know what that would mean to me? If I were going to send that message to one of my spies, one of my agents, was, look, things look like they're going well. The rubber band's going in the right direction, but it's going to snap back. And when it does, it's going to hurt. Beware. And that's the kind of code, a warning I would send to an agent. And the agent, if we had worked this out before, would say, uh-oh, I better run for it. But you'd have to work them out before, because they have to be fairly obscure. Like you and I, we don't really know what this message is, but it's an interpretation.
All right, well, how would you investigate that? If you had to decrypt this coded message, what would you do?
I guess you'd have to go find out who wrote it.
But how could we find out who wrote it? So we could tell Hannah whether her fortune was sweet or sour. We needed someone deep in the cookie dough, the batter at hand, to point us in the right confection direction.
My name is Jennifer Aitley. You know, in the context of this interview, you probably care about the fact that I wrote a book called The Fortune Cookie Chronicles, which is about how Chinese food is all American. And, you know, the main sort of fact that I contributed to world knowledge at that point is that fortune cookies are originally from Japan.
So the fortune cookie is not from China.
It is so not from China. Actually, if you ever have time, you should bring fortune cookies back to China and give them to Chinese people to try. And they're like, why is there a piece of paper in my cookie? And they're like, oh, it's a fortune. And they're like, God, Americans are so strange. Like, why are they putting paper in their food?
And what is that paper trying to tell us and our listener, Hannah? We asked Jennifer about the paper trail we've been following.
We basically want to track down who wrote it, right?
Okay.
But I wondered if, like, you needed the physical specimen. Like, if you had to do a chemical analysis, burn it up, look at the...
Do you have both sides of it, or just the front?
We have both sides.
Okay, yeah. With both sides, you're usually good.
Okay, so here's a picture of our listener holding it.
The rubber bands are heading in the right direction. Wow, she wears black nail polish. Have you noticed that?
I liked it. I actually really? Did notice that. I was like, oh, yeah, cool.
Okay, and where's the other in the back? Where's this one? Oh, there we go. Yes. It says learn Chinese. It has a Chinese thing. It says ko wei, which means taste in Chinese, and lucky numbers. I mean, I can tell you where it's from looking at the photo.
You know who wrote it?
I don't know who wrote it, but I can tell you what company made it.
How can you just look at this fortune and know where it is from?
Because I've seen a lot of fucking fortunes in my life at this point. I've, like, traveled America and the world, like, obsessively looking at fortunes. So, first of all, it's blue. So that's a lot of fortune cookie writers write in red or black.
The text is blue.
Right. The text is blue. And then it has these little blue squares in the corner. Like, most fortunes don't have those little bars. So these are from a company called Wanton Food, which is the largest Chinese fortune cookie manufacturer in America and obviously by extension the world. And they're actually probably not too far from here. This factory that it most likely came from is in Long Island City, which, if I were to guess, would be like a half hour drive from here.
A mere 30-minute drive, and Phoebe took the wheel.
Yeah, so we had the name of this company, Wanton Foods, and I Googled around and found out that they actually had like a chief fortune cookie writer, this one guy, Donald Lau. He'd been doing it since the 80s. So we thought, like, okay, this is it. If we can talk to him, we could get an answer and finally just tell Hannah what this meant. So I picked up the phone and I cold called Wanton Foods.
Hello, Wanafa.
Hi, I'm hoping to get in touch with Donald Lau.
Oh, Donald Lau, hold a second. Just hold it.
The person at extension. 2 is unavailable. Please.
And I called and I kept calling.
Sorry, but the user's mailbox can't accept more messages.
I left a ton of messages, but I never heard back.
I'm sorry. An error has occurred.
It was a dead end. But I felt like we were so close. I couldn't desert Hannah now. So finally, I decided I should just go down there and try to catch Donald on his lunch break. So on a very hot August day, I hopped on the bus. I remember when I got there, it was sort of an intimidating environment. It felt very industrial. There were semi-trucks everywhere, like a big corrugated metal gate with like barbed wire on the top. And there wasn't really an obvious front entryway, so I kind of wandered around for a while, awkwardly peeking over the fence, like wondering how to get in. But I did finally find the front office, and when I got there, I was just like shaking with anticipation. I was like, this is it. We're finally going to figure out what this means. And I walk up, I ask them for Donald Lau, and it turned out he wasn't there. So I was basically like, okay, I guess I'll come back another time.
How many times did you go?
I think 3. I remember one time I got there and like this woman in the PR department who I'd been trying to get in touch with kind of like scurried to the back of the room.
And closed the blinds really fast and shut off the light.
Like it was pretty clear that nobody wanted me around.
So what happened?
So finally, I did actually get a line on Donald. And it turned out that he was retired. After 30 years of writing fortune cookies, he decided to kind of move on with his career. And he was not interested in an interview. Like, he was done with that part of his life, it sounded like.
He put the cookie down.
He put the cookie down and he walked away. So it became pretty clear. It was like, okay, this guy is not going to give us an answer. But 4 years later, I think there is one last person who might be able to tell us what the fortune means.
Since I got that fortune, everything has changed.
This cookie's about to crumble after the break.
Hello.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
Phoebe again.
Oh, Phoebe. I'm just reminiscing of the journey we've been on.
I know. It's been a hell of a ride.
Oh, man.
Hannah is the listener who called us with this question 4 years ago. She cracked open a cookie and got a big old crispy, crunchy mystery.
Is this fortune something you've kept thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely comes to my head often. Well, maybe not often, every couple months. I mean, Phoebe, you and I have talked about it over the years.
Yeah, I was like, is this just because I keep calling you?
No, I definitely think about it. I mean, yes, in many ways it is because you keep calling me, but it's a pleasant call and I'm excited when I get to talk to you about it.
So Flora's here too.
Hey, cool. Hannah.
Hi, Flora. How are you?
So Hannah, we have gotten our heads stuck in every cookie jar trying to find you an answer with not even a crumb to share, but I hear you might have an answer for us.
Yes, I know what the fortune means for me now.
Okay, set the scene. What was going on in your life when you got the fortune? Do you remember that time?
Yeah, I remember that time very well. It was when I was working as a body piercing apprentice. And I had just come out of like a almost 8-year long, really unhealthy relationship. And I was just in a place where I was still really confused and figuring out my life.
That sounds like a disorienting moment.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it, disorienting. And I was just looking for some kind of direction.
What happened since that moment?
Since I got that fortune, everything has changed for the better. Like, I was living with my parents at that time, and I moved out of my parents' house, and I moved back to Pittsburgh, where I went to school. I met the person who I'm in a relationship with now, who I'm engaged to newly.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you.
Hey.
Yeah. And my career, I guess you could call it, which is crazy, has kind of like taken a really awesome turn. I, during the pandemic, started doing some natural dyeing, like dyeing textiles with plants. And that got the attention of this designer, Joseph Altuzara. And I collaborated with him on his spring, summer 2022 line and got to go see it debut at Fashion Week last September.
What?
Yeah, that was wild. And then I am now in the process of opening my own vintage storefront in Pittsburgh.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about life now. My life has dramatically improved since I got the fortune, to a point where like I didn't ever really expect to be where I am. And I'm so, so thankful and happy about it.
So the rubber bands are heading in the right direction. It's a good fortune.
This was absolutely a good fortune. And looking back on it, it's kind of like, you know what? Maybe that fortune was literally about me and meant for me.
The rubber band's headed in the right direction and now you're flying.
Yeah.
I think we should try to make this a just like a greeting.
Oh my gosh, I would love that.
For someone you want to wish good luck to.
To both of you, to Flora and to Phoebe, the rubber bands are heading in the right direction.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah.
You're so welcome. Use it, really, use it. I will.
Thanks for letting us look into this for you.
Oh my gosh, of course. Thank you for helping me with this journey through frustration and through success.
This episode was produced by Aaron Reese, Carla Javier, Hadley Robinson, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Doug Barron. Our editors were Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny. Nicole Pasulka is our fact checker. Scored by Bobby Lord, Catherine Anderson, John Kimbrough, So Wiley, and Emma Munger. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. May your rubber bands head always in the right direction. Goodbye.